Life Architects, Adam Carroll here with another episode of the Build a Bigger Life podcast. It is episode number 157, and man, are you in for a treat today. My guest is Jackie Haley. She is an author, and she is a coach to authors, or would-be authors. You may have read some of Jackie's work. Her name appears on books Crystal Beach, Truce Island, and most notably on a book called Brenda's Wish, which, in my opinion, is destined to be option for a movie. And Jackie and I on the show talk about how she is going to give me a role in the movie. If even I am a waiter or a radio DJ or something, I said, I definitely want a part in this film. The book is called Brenda's Wish. You're going to love it. We're going to talk all about it today. On the show today, Jackie and I talk about publishing your work. We talk about using writing as therapy, as well as some of the stories behind her own incredible writing. We also chat up Jackie's author coaching program, which is called Dream to Author. She is absolutely passionate, and you'll hear it in her voice, about helping others find their voice just like she did, and you'll hear it all on the show today. If you have not experienced any of my writing yet, what are you waiting for? The Build a Bigger Life Manifesto is available now on Amazon, and it's the perfect weekend read to get you fired up about the year and the years ahead in your life. And though she may be biased, my mom says it will change your life. Thanks, Mom. The show is sponsored by theshredmethod.com. If you're looking for a way to blast away debt, to create massive amounts of freedom and flexibility, and ultimately own more of your income, then theshredmethod.com is where you need to start. You can watch the Kickstarter training that's available there right this very minute and get you on the path, the same path that I was on several years ago and I'm now leading people on the path. Utilizing the Shred Method is how I will get to spend the majority of the rest of my life sitting in coffee shops and writing. It's going to be lit. You get it? Lit. It's going to be lit. My writing. All right, let's hear now from accomplished author, Jackie Haley. Jackie Haley, welcome to the Build a Bigger Life podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam. This is fantastic. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So the I teased it in the pre-roll here, but you are an author. You have a number of different hats that you wear because you're also helping other people become authors. We're going to get to all of that, including the story that you've written. But first, the question that I like to ask everyone is, what do you love about your life right now?
Oh my goodness. There are so many grand things that I do love, but I have to say first and foremost, my boys. Despite my lack of ready for them to be growing up, they are just getting taller and taller, and they're talking to me more. We just had a family night last night where we did a game of Clue and a game of Monopoly. So we're just being able to still communicate at that age. They're 11 and 12. Oh, it's just so much fun. So that's probably my favorite thing. Just my husband and my two boys.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day about a power outage that happened not too long ago. And they said, we got out games and we got out candles. Yes. And we had the best discussion. And I think there's something to be said that, you know, we're probably missing connectivity of our children because they're so connected to technology most of the time that, yeah, we just got to like disconnect to connect. So could not agree
Absolutely.
More. Could not agree more.
I
know you, to be a bit of a fatalistic person. You believe that things happen for a reason. And I want to use that as a transition to how you became an author yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. You know, I am a big believer in things happen for a reason. There are reasons that, you know, unbeknownst to us in many ways that we are faced with, whether they're obstacles or they're opportunities. And I think writing actually has been one of those opportunities that has been steering me forward in my life and has led me to what I've been doing so far with my new business and book and things like that. But I got into writing. I used to write as a child. I had all these short stories and everything, and you know, the normal, you know, fourth grader that's just writing about a cat or a dog or something like that. Sure. But I had all these great stories, and I had in those, and this is going to date me, but I had this really great trapper keeper that we had.
Yes.
I bring that into my English class and show my stories. But, you know, I got away from it as I started writing more for business and, articles in school and college and things like that. But, we were family planning. So we had a two-month-old and a 16-month-old. And we had just sold our house and we were building. And this was right around 2008. And so we were actually staying in my in-laws' basement, which they have an absolutely lovely basement. But for 6 months with no privacy, on maternity leave, hopefully I'm painting a picture for you. This is either I'm going to have a little bit more wine or I'm going to start writing.
Right now. Yeah, right.
So it really became a form of therapy to really start. I just started with a character. I was enjoying a few books I was reading and I thought, my goodness, I could do this. I used to love doing it. And I began writing. I didn't at the time intend to have it as a book. However, you know, when you, and you've been there, Adam, when you get to that point where it just flows, you just have something, it happens and you keep writing, you keep going with it. And one page turned into 47 pages, turned into 147 pages. And at that point I thought, okay, I'm spending a lot of time on this. I absolutely enjoy it. I need to do something, but I didn't know really what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And after that, right at that time, I had a very close friend of ours get re-diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so she knew that, and our children, our two oldest, were 4 months apart. So we were pregnant together. Our husbands are best friends and things like that. So we were very close. So that was when I decided, you know, things happen for a reason. I came back and I said, I'm going to publish this book and I'm going to dedicate it to my friend, Jessica Miller Clem, and tell the world what an amazing person she was, because she was one of those lights that shines when she walks in a room. She would be, okay, well, I got a checkup. The cancer's moved to my lungs and to my sternum and to in my bones, but it's not in my big toe. So we're going to celebrate. She always had a positive outlook. So I thought, my goodness, we're going to make this a positive thing. It's going to be an inspiration. And that's how I became a writer. I published that first book. It was endorsed by the Des Moines Register. And it's been an opportunity for me to tell stories and also raise money for the Bliss Cancer Center in Jessica Miller Clem's name as well. So that's
awesome. Was it the fact that this close friend of yours was going through it and there was motivation behind publishing it? And I guess my question is, was that the purpose for you? Like, did it become the purpose behind the book?
It became the purpose. Yes. I mean, I knew I wanted to do something with it because I was writing quite a bit, but when she was diagnosed and we found out, that was the decision. That was that push. That was that motivation. And I think that that is one of the key elements when you're writing a story. You want to find your motivation, whatever that may be. If you're writing a story, if you want to become a published author, or if you want to finish a story or have a purpose to it, do it for a cause like this, find that motivation and capitalize on it, right? And that was definitely the reason and the engine that got me to that published author status after that.
Yeah. I want you to speak a little bit to the self-talk that authors often have where you're reading it. And I know this, I've had it in the books that I've read or written where I'm like, who's going to read this? I don't know if this is worthy. And then there are moments where you're reading it and rereading what you've written going, this is really good. This is really good stuff.
Right?
So talk a little bit about your internal chatter that you either embraced or beat back into submission while you were writing.
Absolutely, Adam. I'm really glad you brought that up because it is kind of an emotional roller coaster as a writer. You know, I know that the clients that I've worked with that have been writers, especially brand new writers, But even seasoned ones like yourself or I, you know, myself, that, you know, you go, gosh, is this really a selling? Is this sellable in the marketplace? Is this genre really going to add to it and be an asset? There's always that lack of confidence that we experience, but then you kind of go back and go, no, this is going to be fantastic. So it really goes up and down and ebbs and flows. But I think that's key in making that motivation, kind of keeping that motivation there to help you through those rough times. I always say that authors, I mean, as long as you don't give up, that's the big secret. As long as you don't give up, that's the biggest key to success, because you are left with nothing else but succeeding if you do not give up. And when you're in those low points, sometimes you just have to either put it away for a minute, take a break, or go into find your inspiration. I know we've talked a little bit about before about finding your inspiration, finding your space. Where do you get the best area, the environment that inspires you to write and things like that? I highly recommend when you get in those low spots of writing your book, find those places of inspiration. And maybe it's music you listen to. Maybe it's an environment. Me personally, I like being near water. I'm a water bug. So I grew up around a lake. If you get me on a beach or near a pool or somewhere, I will just write and write and write. And I just find that very, very moving. So I would say probably those would be some of the things that would help people as they're starting their new, their writing process.
Yeah. So. We did talk about that on a different interview, didn't we? And the, you had asked me, I think, what my process was. I don't know that I've shared that with my tribe, but Starbucks not far from my house. In the mornings from 5:30 a.m. to about 8 or 8:30 a.m., two or three mornings a week, when I'm in full writing mode, always put me in the zone. And it was the kind of coffee I was drinking. It was the sounds and smells of the coffee place. It was the number of people coming in. But at that time of the morning, I would put a hood up and I was just 100% into writing. And I knew that I could leave when I hit like 2,000 or 2,500 words. So I agree with you. And I like the idea of water. I think I should try that right now, water.
It's fantastic. Actually, I love your routine. And I think that's key as well. Not only finding that place of inspiration and that motivation that will kind of lift you up when you're feeling down or feeling like you might have writer's block or something, but getting back to that place of inspiration as much as possible and maybe setting a time like you do, I think that's a great way to keep yourself productive and moving forward through your story, is setting that time aside and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do from this time to this time.
Yep.
And keep it to yourself so you can go back to it.
Tell my listeners about your book. What is the story? What's the, you know, how did it all evolve for you?
Sure. And the first two or the other one? Or all three?
tell us all three. I want to hear all three.
Sure. So I did, you know, the one I dedicated to Jessica Miller Clem was my first one. It's called Crystal Beach. It really, the Des Moines Register characterized it better than I did. And I wrote the darn thing, but it's characterized as kind of a girl next door stumbles into a James Bond movie. So there's, it's a fiction novel, completely separate from anything that I do in my day job. It was an absolute fun imaginary world that I created and just had a ball doing that. I got a following off of that. So I had quite a bit of push for a second book. So I did write the sequel, Truce Island, in 2017. And I released that. And this kind of goes back to, you know, everything happens for a reason. When I released Truce Island in 2017, actually, that is when I was approached by David Schmitz, who is the husband in the story that I wrote for my third book. He asked me, he said, well, I didn't know you wrote books, but I really have a great story about my family, and I'd love to tell you about it and see if you'd be interested in writing the story. At that time, I was, of course, writing fiction. So this would be kind of a nonfiction, narrative nonfiction kind of book. So completely different genre, completely different angle and way you write a story based on that genre. So that was a little different, but I definitely wanted to meet him. And again, we had a meeting, we visited, His wife, late wife, had passed away in 2011. So this has aged a little bit, but she had ovarian cancer. And she had written a letter and gave it to a friend. And she said, at the end, she said, when my husband, David, finds a new wife, like I've asked him to when he's ready, to raise our four boys, they had four young boys at home, wow, then I want you to send this into the Star 102.5 Christmas Wish program. Yes. And so 2 years after she had passed, David gets called into Star 102.5 and hears the words of his late wife for the very first time. Yes, it's just amazing. Wow. He was just talking about, you know, she left the note saying, I love the new person in your life. Thank you for taking on four boys. And thank you for all you do for this family. They're yours now. So, and it was just heart-wrenching. And then she wanted them to go on a family vacation, a magical vacation, to start memories as one unit. And she also wanted the doctors and nurses to, that took care of her in her final days, to have a night out of fun, food, and just a good time to say thank you for taking such good care of her. And that was through Mercy One. There were some wonderful doctors over there. So it's just, it's a moving, selfless act. And the video, the actually interview on Star 102.5 has 4.6 million views on it. It wow. is a video that's gone viral. It's gone global. And David Schmitz, the husband, had been, he had received 440 media contacts after that went viral. Mm-hmm. Anywhere from Good Morning America, The Today Show, all the big networks, Dr. Oz, Ellen DeGeneres, everybody, they tried to reach out. He wasn't really ready at that time because it was just, it was overwhelming. But now he is, and he asked me to write the story. So we just released it this year. We're very excited about it.
So awesome. Yeah. I mean, does I hesitate to go here, mm-hmm. but this feels like a movie in the making.
It really does. It really does. Actually, Alyssa Milano at one point tweeted out, why isn't anyone making this movie when this originally came out? Yeah. She said, I want to play Brenda. So I said, my gosh, let's get in touch with her.
No kidding.
Let's revisit this conversation.
Yes.
But what I love about Brenda's Wish, this is the story. This is the untold story. So everyone's seen, you know, the video is viral and they've seen the reaction and the way that she impacted the family. But Brenda's Wish, which is was just released. We just released it this year. It's right here. This is actually the untold story from her diagnosis all the way through and really how the family handled each stage and each situation. So wow. David, the husband, had three wishes for this book. He said he wanted it to be faith-based. He wanted it to be inspirational, and he wanted it to raise awareness for ovarian cancer. Because at the end of the day, women's annual exams, they don't have a test for ovarian cancer. So unless they get an ultrasound or some other way to detect, they don't get that. Now, when you're in, it's called the silent killer in many ways because it's, you don't have any symptoms generally until it's too late, until you're in the fourth stage. And so if you can catch it in the first and second stage, your survival rate for a woman would be right in the high 90s. But if it's in the stage four, it goes down to about 46%. So it's definitely very, very important to detect that early and try and get that. So we have worked with people through this book and producing this book. We have had two endorsements from national organizations, the National Ovarian Cancer Coalition and Colleen's Dream. And Colleen's Dream is based out of Arizona, and they're actually raising money to develop research tools or develop a tool that will help test women during their annual exam. So I am all for that. And, you know, I've been tested because this is definitely a wake-up call for women to be able to be aware of their body and identify those symptoms when they keep coming back. That's one of the things to watch out for. But National Ovarian Cancer does research for this as well. So I'm very lucky to have that support.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you find it coincidental that two of the three books have had this deeper purpose behind them?
I really do. I think that I am being driven in that direction, which is, it's moving for me because I feel like I'm making a bigger difference. Mm-hmm. And I'm not only doing what I enjoy, but I'm able to help raise awareness and raise money and raise funding to help other people that are hit with this terrible disease. It comes out of nowhere many times, and people are, you know, just like Brenda, she was home for the holidays and she got a stomach ache, and 9 months later she's gone from the family. Wow. And to have that, she's just that's a regular Iowa family just like all of us, and it's really heartbreaking. So to be able to help raise awareness and help others detect before it's too late like that, I think that's definitely what my driver has been. And there's a reason.
Well, I want to talk a little bit too about what you're doing on the back end of this. You've now published three books, two fiction. One is what I would call, is there some fictional element to Brenda's Wish, or did you write it straight from a biography standpoint?
Actually, essentially it's from David's perspective for the most part. Okay. But it is written like a narrative. It's a narrative nonfiction. So there are creative aspects to, I don't know if he was wearing a yellow tie on that Tuesday, but he is in the story. We have to take those descriptions for what they're worth. But the main points, the movement, how the family reacted and how they stuck together. I mean, the biggest part of that is definitely the perspective of how the family really did in real life treat this disease and work through this. And that was one thing I definitely wanted to make sure I had accurate to what really happened. I'm very appreciative to David. He really bared his soul to me to describe how each of these things kind of played out in the 9 months that she was sick. So,
you're now pivoting a little bit to helping other people do the same, right? And I appreciate this, and I want to dig into it because I know there's a lot of people out there who think, oh, I have a book in me someday and I'll write something. But again, the self-talk and limiting beliefs and doubts and who would read it, well, I don't even know what I would do with it kind of commentary comes up. You are helping people walk that process out. Talk about that.
Absolutely. There are so many people out there. 81% of Americans feel they have a book in them and that they should write it. They just don't know how to get started. And so I actually created this based out of demand. I've had, people have known that I've written and published over the years, and they've sought me out to say, hey, I've got a friend that's writing a book. Could you just look at her manuscript or look at the story and see? And I give my input on that. And I actually turned it into a business because I have just found so much passion and enjoyment helping others write their own inspirational story, whether it's a fiction story, a fantasy, or even an autobiography, memoir, or something that they've experienced. Really, at the end of the day, it's finding that motivation, helping them get through those tough parts, the writer's block, the lack of confidence, the lack of time, how they can get through that. Adam, I'm preaching to the choir here. I know this because you've written so many fantastic books, and getting through that process is never easy. I mean, it takes time to make sure you're putting everything together. Yeah. And then once you get those books out there, I mean, you're standing out there for everyone to read your thoughts, and they can interpret them in their own way. And that's a scary thought for a lot of people. But when you can get it out, it is so fulfilling. And I want people to be able to experience that rather than to dream about being an author, to actually live it. It's actually easier to be an author nowadays with self-publishing options and other ways to do that and market your own book. Now you have to stand out among the million books, like, for example, the million books that were published in 2019, you have to make yourself available and above that noise. But based on people's interests, it's across the board. You can find that market.
We could probably do a masterclass on how do you sell books, you know, or many masterclasses and interviewing people to do that. I've been really fortunate. I sold, I think we've sold almost 40,000 copies of Winning the Money Game, which I think by all intents and purposes makes it a bestseller. The difference is mine were sold in lump sum quantities quite often. It was like, you know, it was part of a speaking gig or it was lump sum sold to a school or what have you. Quick story, my grandfather passed away about 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago now. And before he died, I kept saying, he's got all these great stories and we need to put it in a book. And so he would start writing them. He'd been writing a book, quote unquote, for years, where he was squirreling away these stories in small written pieces that he put together. Mm-hmm. But we ended up self-publishing his memoir, which is called Confessions of a One-Winged Angel. And it was so amazing to watch him get the book in hand for the first time to see his stories. And then we had newspaper articles, and he was an interesting man because he had run for governor of the state of Iowa. He had been very involved in politics. He had been super involved in a number of causes. All of those had news pieces that we put into the book. So I share that only to share that helping other people put their story, their life story, or their fiction story into published form, there's like nothing greater than that. The feeling, I still get overwhelmed by, you know, handing him the book and he's like tearing up at the fact that he has this tangible thing.
Absolutely. Oh, that's fantastic. See, yeah, that's exactly it. And it's that much more important when it's a family member of yours. And you know, when you grew up with those stories, how fun that would be to produce that. Now you're making me think I need to talk to my stepdad about that. He's been writing.
It's time, Jackie. It's time. Turn the family
I think
on.
It is.
Let's
I think
talk it about, is. Let's talk about dreamtoauthor.com. What does someone go through when they go through Dream to Author?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Dream to Author really is my main focus. No matter what stage they're in the writing process, is to help them write, publish, and market their very first book. So I'm looking for the people that were like me 15 years ago saying, okay, I've got a story idea, but I don't know what to do, how to handle this, where do I even start? And so, you know, it all starts with a phone call with me directly and just hearing the people. And that's the fun part for me, because I get to hear what their story is about, what stage they're in, and where they need help the most. So I just had a client ask me, he said, you know, I've got this story. It's, you know, yay long, but I just don't know if it's something worth publishing or what it is, or, you know, what I would classify it as, da 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 da. I said, you know what, I can do a quick manuscript review. Send it over to me. I'll read it. I'll give you my notes, my input. I'll let you know what your next steps are, what you'd like to do as far as publishing. So publishing, you know, that masterclass, another one that we could do on publishing. You know, do you want to retain your rights? Do you want to have marketing services? Do you want to do, you know, what are some of the important things that you need? Are you kept to a schedule? That all determines whether you would go to a traditional publisher or self-publisher or a hybrid or a small press somewhere in between. Yep. So all of these things, there's so many different aspects. And I've been doing this for so long, and being able to help give that advice, give that input, and save them so much more time is fulfilling for me and helping those guys move forward. So I'm actually meeting another client here next just to talk about, she's got her organization, she's got a grand topic. It's a fantastic one. It's very unique, but she just stumbles a little bit on the organization part of it. So we are working one-on-one to do that. So I do coaching, just one-on-one coaching. I have online program. I have workshops. Just if people have simple questions about how to write a query letter, you can get into a very reasonable workshop and get that information right away. But that's what I'm here for. It's just to help the others get through that process.
That's awesome.
First time.
Yeah. We writers need to stick together, you know?
Yes, like absolutely.
Jim Rohn used to say that the only thing we have to leave future generations are our words and our pictures. Mm-hmm. And I have been a big believer that my books are not necessarily, they're certainly, they're for the people who read them, they're as much for my children and my grandchildren at some point. And I know there'll be lots more. I'm going to continue writing. For me, though, it really is about, I got something to say and I'm going to put it out there. And if you feel that way, I highly encourage you to check out dreamtoauthor.com. Consider working with Jackie or a coach that can walk you through the process of doing it, because going at it alone sometimes feels like you're walking in the middle of a desert or a forest in the middle of the night, bumping and, you know, feeling your way through, but not really knowing where you're going. It really does help when someone has been through it and can lead you through it. So on that note, Jackie, kind of as a summary or to sum up, what if someone's interested in writing, absolutely, what do they do? Like, what would you encourage them to do in terms of the first few steps or voices, sure, to listen to or what have you?
I would say, you know, in your first thought process, honestly, if you are, you have a clear idea of what your obstacles are and what you need to do, that would be the time to get a hold of me. And actually, I'd love to do something for your listeners, Adam. If there is a way, if they would like to email me directly, at Jackie@dreamtoauthor.com, I will be happy to send them my ebook with the seven strategies to face the writer's block and all the lack of motivation, lack of time. I want to get them in the right mindset. So if I can get them that ebook, it'll give them seven great strategies to get in that right mindset and start moving forward on their writing. And we can certainly talk. And a phone call with me, setting up an appointment is absolutely entirely free for the first call. And I just love to hear and help them out. I think that would be the first steps for any aspiring writers out there. That's, and then, awesome, definitely reading your books and learning about what you have to offer. Because I tell you what, all of the speaking engagements, the events that you've done, they've been fantastic. I get a lot out of that. So I appreciate you doing that.
Well, thank you, Jackie. I appreciate that very much. Emailing Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, @dreamtoauthor.com to get a free ebook that will walk you through the elements of what did you say? It was of...
Well, it's getting them in the right mindset. So seven strategies to get them in the right mindset, addressing writer's block and getting their inspiration and moving forward. So this book just kind of encompasses all of that. And it's a quick read, but it helps. It's very abbreviated to the point to make sure that when you get done with it, you go, okay, I've got this. I'm going to move forward.
Yeah. So cool. Well, here's what I will end with. If Brenda's Wish ends up being a movie, could I play like a gas station attendant or some? Can you write me in some?
You and me both.
I'll be the podcast host or the radio DJ maybe that played.
I'll be the gas station clerk or something, or the server.
Yeah. There you go.
That's fantastic. You're first on my list, Adam. And thank you so much for having me on this. This is fantastic.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jackie. Thanks for joining me. And again, Jackie@dreamtoauthor.com is how you get a copy of the ebook. Thanks for joining me, and we will talk very soon.
Thank you.